This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Going to pop in here for a couple minutes? I can say hello to you, Mr. Wonstadt.
Dave Wonstadt.
Shane, wake up.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here and Dave Wonstadt. There's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
Dave Wonstadt, one of my, really idols.
Super Bowl champion.
These guys, it's tough to get any, you can see it's tough to get any serious work done here, but...
Football analyst for NBC Sports and the Marquee Network.
We should talk to Wani this week because I got a FaceTime from him last night with Mitch on his patio. Mitch in his party white shorts and his sandals.
Nothing bad.
No, Shane. Shane, it's all good. All good. Definitely a little toasty.
Well, let's talk to Wani because Jimmy mentioned him in his farewell.
Probably the most fun I've ever had in my career. It has been a great run. I can tell you the story, and Dave Wonstadt and Tony Wise, they can verify this. When I was at Oklahoma State University, I went to a little restaurant, and we were struggling. I said, guys, hang with me. We're going to win a national championship.
With no Jimmy, they need a coach.
Yes.
And I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
He's busy.
I mean,
he's busy with us.
He's worked with Fox before.
Keep that man away from this.
Form is something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care.
He don't care.
I don't care. It's 5:00 somewhere.
It's 5:00 right here at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. It is 670 The Score. We've been at this place so many times, Mark Grody. Mark Grody's in for Lawrence Holmes. Lawrence is at Rick Camp's wedding, which frankly we all wish we were at. But if we were at Rick Camp's wedding, we wouldn't get to talk to our guy Dave Wonstadt, who joins us right now on the Circa Sports Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app now, and we're here because of Circa. If you're here at Real Time Sports, go over to the table and download the app with them, and they will hook you up with some gear, some really cool Circa gear over there. What do you say, Coach? Good afternoon. How are you?
What's happening, Spigs? Mark? No, everything is good. Down here in sunny Florida, starting to gear up a little bit for the draft. Not too much at this point, but all's good. All's good. Very, very blessed to be here and enjoying some time away,
Yeah, absolutely, man. Like, I don't think we've talked to you since a few different things have happened, and maybe I missed it, but I haven't talked to you since Jimmy Johnson stepped away. I gotta assume that Jimmy told you guys, the inner circle, when you all were all gathered on the keys, did Jimmy tell all of you guys, Coach, before he went on, before the news broke later on?
Yeah, he did talk about it then in depth a little bit with everybody. But, I had talked with Jimmy numerous times as the season was winding down. So I kind of knew that it was happening. And, it's been talked about for a couple years. I don't think anybody was really shocked. But, he had his run, as he said, and had a lot of fun with it. And, it's a long trip now, when you're flying commercial from Miami to L.A., and he just had enough. I mean, as he said, it's not fun anymore. It's become a job, and I don't need to be working a job at this point in my life.
Well, good for him, and I've always thought of just following his career, Jimmy's, from afar, obviously, from very far away. He has always done things his way, and it looks like the man certainly went out on his own terms, so it's par for the course. But, Dave, if we haven't even talked to you about Jimmy Johnson, then maybe we haven't even talked to, I guess just Spiegel and I, just speaking for ourselves, I haven't heard you talk or give your opinions on what the Bears have done so far in this offseason. There's so much that they have done, so I'll try to narrow it down a little bit. I guess I'll start with the offensive line and the additions of Drew Dahlman, Joe Tooney, and Curtis Jackson. Are you surprised that they got all three of those guys?
To some degree, yes. Just from the standpoint that, these guys were people that everybody knew about. These were people that everybody, that anyone that was looking for an offensive lineman would have liked to have on their team. And, you know, you got to give Ryan Poles credit now. I mean, you know, you don't make something like, and I've been involved with dozens of these type of deals with different positions over all the years, and it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, it's back and forth, and the agent's taking it out and shopping it, and then he's coming back to you, and the kid wants it, and then, well, I don't know about this. He's got questions. And then you're going to get a coach, and it's back and forth, and it can be days, it can be weeks, it can be months when these things can drag on before you get the signatures on it. So for the Bears, and I'm going to give the credit to Ryan Poles, you know, when he sat down, obviously, when they got, you know, when they signed the contract up and Ben was the coach, and they sat down and said, what do we need? This is where we're at. And he says, hey, this is a priority. Tell you what, they went out and got it done, and George McCaskey is spending the money. I mean, you know, they are spending it, and that gives you a chance. When you have it and you spend it, and you spend it on the right players, obviously that's the key to having success. And I love all these guys. You know, they're obviously the guards, but last year I sat right there, probably where you're sitting, Mark, during the draft, myself and Pat Manley, and I made the statement. They said, who would you take? And I said, I would take the Johnson kid, out of Oregon, the center, or I would take the Frazier kid out of West Virginia. I said, I would take an offensive center in the first round. I said that last year. Because if you look at it, and I was just in a call with Mike Gettings, who handles, I think it's Pro Scout, I don't know if it's Pro Scout or what the name of his service is, but he works with about half the NFL teams, and he tracks everything, guys. And over the last years, the one position that showed up being a blue player by Super Bowl winners was the guys that had the center position. And, left tackle was not a priority. There had not been a Super Bowl winning team that had a blue left tackle in 10 years. By that, I mean, by I say blue, that means playing at a blue level. That's not your college grade or because you were a number one draft pick. He looks at the film, every play of every game, and gives you a grade. And if you know, so the left tackle playing at a blue level has not been a real prerequisite for a team winning a Super Bowl. Center has been.
Wow.
And I like the Dalton kid because why? He's athletic, he's smart, and in the scheme of offense that Ben Johnson runs, this zone scheme, I'm assuming he's going to do the same thing. Your center. You know, there's guys lined up on the guards in the 4-3. And, yeah, the guard's going to slow them up a little bit. But your center needs to be athletic enough to snap the ball and get himself in position to make that block. So you got to have Olin Kreutz-type quickness and technique to be able to master that. And that's what Dalton does. So I really liked what they've done so far.
So if that is the case, Dave, then, and you didn't say it, but you kind of said it, if theoretically that's the way teams are winning with strong centers and it doesn't necessarily have to be the left tackle, Braxton Jones stays with the Bears. He's your left tackle. They can move forward with him now that they've solidified the center position and, to a different degree, the two guard spots.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Now, if they can draft a real talented kid, you know, you're always trying to get better. But that wouldn't be a priority right now. It's defensive line. If anybody thought, and let me just say this, from the Super Bowl, because I don't know how many times, if I've been on with you guys or not, if I said it, if anybody watched that Super Bowl game with any common sense, and you said to yourself, if I got a chance to get a great defensive lineman or a great offensive lineman, who might take it? If you don't say defensive lineman, then you didn't watch that game very close. I mean, you know, that was domination. By four guys, not five, not six, not seven, four guys coming after Patrick Mahomes, athletic, and it was a domination. So against a very, very good, in my opinion, obviously, offensive line in Kansas City, guys that know what they're doing, Super Bowl-type team. So, you know, you can't ever get enough of those guys. And so, you know, I'm still always looking for defensive linemen, if that's your question, you know.
No, I love it. I love that idea of fortifying that with, you know, with Grady Jarrett being there, with Dio Dangbo being there. Like that, I mean, another defensive lineman will look real nice.
Let's get an edge rusher. Let's get a young edge rusher, and Dio can help out.
Speak.
Yes.
Slow down a second. Okay?
No. I have thoughts, Wani. I have thoughts, and I'm going to spit them out with incredible quickness. Well,
you're giving me you're generating thoughts here in my mind as I'm getting ready to go fix a bourbon. But I'm here's the deal. This defense is different than Eberflus's defense. Dennis Allen, okay, and Matt Eberflus's defense was closer to what I did and what we did at Dallas and Miami and Chicago and with the Tampa Bay Bucks. You guys have heard me say that. His defense was a combination of those two things. Okay, with that being said, you play multiple coverages, but you got to have four dominant guys up front. Dennis Allen's defense is different. He's a lot more pressure. Linebackers, safeties, nickels. So with that, you don't need to have – everybody would like to have the Richard Dent. Don't get me wrong. But you don't have to have the Richard Dent – or Dan Hampton,
right?
You can have, you know, Dexter and the guys that we have, the guys that we've added, these guys will be outstanding. You got to have fast, athletic guys because you're bringing more guys. And now they don't have to beat two guys to get to the quarterback. Everybody's going to be pretty much one-on-one in blitzes in any defense. And now you got to get guys that can run them down and make plays. So it's a little philosophy change. So I like the guys we got. Hey, let's maybe add another one. But here's the position that we can't lose sight of. Because the position that you have to be strong in Dennis Allen's defense, in any pressure defense, is you got to be able to cover. And we got coverage, guys. But I'll tell you what. Yes, we feel good about Jalen. We feel good about Gordon. We feel good about the safety position. Could always use another safety. Say maybe Brisker, we don't know where he's at. But I tell you what, I love Terrell Smith. And my man from the U, Stevenson, makes me nervous. Mm-hmm. Makes me nervous. So if there was a top corner there and a few of these contracts are beginning, you know, Gordon's going to be coming up. Uh-huh. I almost would look at this thing if you said, if you had any choice of a top guy, I'm not so sure at a top corner – wouldn't really make an impact on this team.
Wow.
That's great stuff, Coach. And stuff
because of what I said, you know.
Yep. Yeah, that's good.
I will say this, that Dennis Allen historically has gotten very good performance and good careers out of corners taken lower in the draft, which I find intriguing. So, like, he's a real good coacher of corners, and maybe because he asks his defense to cover nice and tight. When you're pressuring like crazy, you want those corners to cover tight, don't you, when you're bringing exotic pressures?
Most of the time, yeah, sure. And okay. And it's, you don't have to cover them as long. You know what I mean? It's a one, two, three. I mean, if you're bringing pressure, you know, the average ball is going to be out in 3 seconds or less.
Yeah.
So you're talking about 3 seconds, guys. You better be able to cover somebody for 3 seconds.
Hey, Coach, I realized yesterday that it took me way too damn long to learn a basic lesson in football. And Spice Adams was talking to Lawrence on his podcast, House of L, which people can go and find on YouTube, House of L, find Lawrence Holmes and Spice Adams. And we played a chunk about the Bears, and Spice was talking about the linemen that they acquired, including Grady Jarrett. And he was talking about the O-line and the D-line, and he said, it's kind of like when you're building a house. That's the foundation, man. It's the foundation. And if the foundation isn't there, then it doesn't matter what else you do. And I realized, you know, all these years that I've been, and even just last year, getting caught up with fancy wide receivers and thinking about the quarterback as the great deodorant, the O-line and the D-line are the freaking foundation, aren't they, Coach? And, like, why the hell did it take me so long to learn this? Please help me out with this one.
All I can say is, we're Spigs. You know?
Where was he? Where's he been? He's here.
I probably talked about this, Shane, when we were saying we're Spigs. No, that's a good point. And I tell you what, you know, that's what's a little bit confusing to me. Last year, did Shane Waldron have that much influence on Ryan Poles? Did Caleb Williams drafting him have so much influence that we got to get receivers and that was a priority? Tight end, you know, I'm not sure, but there definitely has been a philosophy switch. And we said this halfway through the season. I was beating myself over the head talking about this on TV and radio, saying the first thing you do when you're going to put the game plan in, you walk in and say, can we block these guys? And what can we do from an upfront standpoint? And then you add your running plays and you add your passing plays. You don't go to a drop back scheme if you can't block them, you know. So everything has to start up front. And I really thought that our offensive line didn't have much of a chance last year, you know, because that was not the case. We're in shotgun. We're not up under center very often. On and on and on, and it was backwards for a lot of different reasons. And what they've done so far leads me to believe that that we're having a major philosophy shift. And you can see that watching what Ben Johnson did at Detroit the last couple of years. They're going to be up under center a lot. They're going to be running the ball a lot. They're going to be play action pass. And then, obviously, when they have to drop back in the gun and throw it, they will. But that's right in my that offensive style is right in my wheelhouse. And we talked a long time when we were down at Jimmy's a couple weeks ago. We were out in a boat, and we got into a discussion about this because Troy, I had Troy on the show, and if you remember Spiggs, and Troy was talking about under center versus not under center. And then we got Tony involved from a line protection standpoint, and so I'm excited. I really think that, and it gives your defense a better chance to win. And if we can run the ball, God, and they're talking about the Ashton Gentry kid, from Boise, take him. I mean, if he's that type of player,
at 10,
take him.
Would you do it at 10?
I'd do it. Why not?
Okay, no, I mean, you were just so into the defense, so I was like, okay. But no, I'm with you, Coach.
Hey, Coach, we got to ask you about the news of the day because we're out here at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village, and you've been out here with the score before. You were here on our 30th anniversary. It was a thrill to have you here.
I got a shirt that didn't fit me, but go ahead. Anyway,
That ain't right,
Coach. Shane gave me a shirt that was like a medium or something. I don't know.
No, I think that's just your off-season Naples diet. You're letting it go a little bit too much.
Coach, Dan Bernstein is no longer working here. That news broke today. And I know that you go back with Bernsey as a Bears reporter and obviously as a host. So I wanted to give you a chance to talk about him and talk about that a little bit.
Oh, I don't have any comment. I mean, I really don't. Bernsey and I were never close. We were never really on the same page. So, no, it's a tough thing for him, for anybody to lose their job. I'll go with that. But as far as working with or together, I got no comment.
Understood, Coach. Sorry to put you in a spot. Didn't mean to. You are the best. Thank you so much for everything. Say hey to Jan. We love you. And you make our days better. You make our shows better around here. Okay, Coach?
I'll be up for that last week of April doing a bunch of draft stuff, so we'll definitely get together.
We'll love it. We'll love it. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate you.
All right, speak. See you, Mark.
See you, Dave.
That's Dave Wannstedt right here on 670 The Score.
He elicits all responses. That's what we said about Dan Bernstein.
Yeah, it's true.
He elicits everything. That's why he is who he is.
Yep. We're going to come back and let you hear how we started the show about that news of the day. We thought that we would bring that to you because it was honest, processing in real time, and you deserve that. You, the Score listener, deserve our honest processing in real time, warts and all. So that's what you'll get next on 670 The Score.
We're back live from Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village with more of the Spiegel and Home Show presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
It is indeed Spiegel and Holmes. Lawrence is off for the day and Mark Grody is in. It is a crazy day. We learned about 5 minutes before airtime that Dan Bernstein is no longer working here at The Score. That is that's a big piece of broadcast news. It's a big piece of personal news. We've all known Dan for decades and very much a friend to me. Even no matter what it may have sounded like on the air, he's certainly become a friend. But Shane Reardon and me, Matt Spiegel, and you, Mark Grody, had a chance, an opportunity, and a task to come on the air just after we caught that news.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to point out what you did, that we were on a conference call 5 minutes before we went on the air. That said, why don't we begin this segment here by letting you listen to our real-time reaction to Dan Bernstein's firing?
Will continue to do what it does, which is be the voice of the fans and the voice to the fans, discussing everything in the consciousness of Chicago sports and Chicago radio and Chicago personalities as we have for a long, long time. I'm proud to be here. I'm proud to have been here as long as I have been. And Mark Grody, I'm thrilled to work with you today. Lawrence Holmes off today for the wedding of Rick Camp. So Chris Tadhill off as well. We've got Shane Reardon. We've got Tyler Buterbaugh back at the shop. We've got Rich Wyatt here. Jenna Duddleston, our promotion staff, our friends from Circa are here. We're going to be at Circa next week in Las Vegas and can't wait. But Mark Grody, I'm thrilled to be with you today, as I always am. But it feels kind of fitting that it's you and me today in some odd ways as well.
It does. And, you know, like there is so many emotions flowing right now with the news that you talked about with Dan Bernstein. I mean, he's one of the greatest Chicago sports talk show hosts, sports or non-sports, that this city has ever seen. He could compete on a national level with other hosts there. So there's no way to deny the talent that Dan Bernstein has, and the fact too, Spiegs, that so much of what Dan Bernstein has done over his career lives in the, for better or for worse sometimes, lives in the DNA of Chicago sports talk radio, not just at The Score, but everywhere, in terms of the way he stylized it, the things that he has made okay to talk about. Dan Bernstein, again, whether you like it or not, has had that effect, and it still lives in Chicago to this very moment.
No, it does. It's so funny, man. Like, there's him as a host, there's him as a guy. And to me, it's like he's been a foil for me for a long, long time.
I know he is.
And to a lot of people, obviously. But like, you know, and so, I mean, I used to call, me and Dan McNeil used to call their show the Freight Train of Hate and Indignation, the Boers and Bernstein
show.
I remember. Because every day the freight train would take off and it would go somewhere filled with hate and indignation. And some days it'd be a really worthy target if it was Penn State, if it was Steve Alford, et cetera. And I think that's true of Bernsey's style through the years. And then And I enjoy sports. I enjoy life. I enjoy thinking good things about the world. I enjoy finding what interests me and actually makes me smile about the world. So I was a natural foil for him, and we leaned into that because it was all based in realness. But the truth is that Dan and I have grown very, very friendly, at times close through the years, because, you know, we are who we are, you know? And as we age, as you and I do, and as he did, some of us mellow, some of us get meaner, some of us get kinder, some of us get wiser, and some of us struggle, some of us evolve, yeah. Some of us do not, all of that.
That's the irony, is Dan did get nicer.
Oh, hell of a lot nicer.
He got nicer.
Hell of a lot nicer.
And it worked for him,
yeah.
You know?
I mean, look, I wish the man personally well, and I've told him that, I've texted him that, I wish him well. Here's what I want to say. We're not going to spend all the afternoon talking about this, but we're also not going to shy away from it in this moment. I believe that guy has another chapter doing something that speaks to his facile mind, his intelligence, his genuine passions and interests. I believe that he will find some outlet eventually that fits all of that, and I look forward to it.
Are we going to Theo Epstein him? We're going to look at what he does and what he's really talented at and say, no, you have a higher purpose. You should be in politics. When somebody like Dan Bernstein, who could do that, he could have picked any lane
sure.
he wanted.
And could Theo.
But here's the essence of Dan.
Yeah.
He wanted to just have fun and do sports talk radio. Now, he did it at times in a very serious fashion, so let's not get it wrong and
it's
twisted
fun.
That somehow he is careless,
Mark,
but this is what he chose
Mark,
to do.
I'm not saying he'll find a better job. Okay.
No. But to be honest, I
don't know that there's a better thing to do for somebody that loves all this stuff and is like dying to express themselves about anything and everything.
Yes, that's
you know,
why.
But hopefully he'll find something. I'm sure he will.
Yeah. Yes.
It's funny though because Theo's an interesting person to think about as we talk about, you know, what life is for people in their 50s who have done a certain amount and then get maybe reach the moment of ending up having to do something else. Theo worked for a venture capital firm, and he worked for the commissioner's office. And then he combined those things into being a part owner of his childhood team.
So everybody's talking like, oh, you should be in politics. No, man. I want to stay in sports.
But he did further some interests. Now he knows the finance world more. He knows the league even more. And now he's an owner.
Yeah, but it sounded to me like people thought that he should be the head of the Democratic National Convention. Or
Of course.
Like that level. I'm talking about that sort of thing.
Right.
And I'm like, no, and I'm sure Dan could also do that.
Let me just say this.
He wants to have fun.
I knew Theo Epstein was not going to be the head of the Democratic Party when I saw him at 4 a.m. with a block of dark chocolate on his head. Walking through the kitchen of a hotel in Boston. I was like, you know, I don't know if that guy's, but maybe now, I don't know, maybe all bets are off.
Sir, how do you respond to the accusations of the question of going on a bender for the next 2 weeks, sir?
Sir,
do you think that was funny?
Sir, can we discuss the block of dark chocolate, sir?
Do you think that's fun? Do you think that's what the Democratic Party needs,
Senator Schumer, I am not here to talk about the block of dark chocolate.
Oh, man.
I'm not here to do that.
How about if Dan was the press secretary for a president? I'm not saying the current, because I don't want to do any of that.
Right.
I'm saying, like, just in general, he would be a great voice for somebody, I think.
It's true.
Wouldn't he?
Yeah, for somebody and something. So, look, look, we know that this is a controversial decision in terms of the listenership, perhaps, but we are here for you. We will still be us. And we've already heard from a million listeners on text, on Twitter, et cetera. Some thrilled, some not thrilled, et cetera. It is what it is. That's always been the reaction to Dan Bernstein, frankly. And it's usually the reaction of most of us. You know, there's people that love us. There's people that hate us. It is what it is. It's part and parcel of the deal. I think us sharing how we feel personally is one thing. And again, us telling you that we have been advised to not speak on the events of the past week lets you know everything that's going on. And onward, we will roll.
Speaks, can I say one thing about those people who are hating on this so much and the people who are hooting and hollering and loving that he was fired? Those people with the same passion for this radio station do not understand very clearly that there is no radio station to love without Dan Bernstein doing what he did with Terry Bors and his entire time coming up here. This sucks. It absolutely sucks. And I don't, I'm not doing what I'm doing without being able to hear Dan Bernstein.
Understood.
Made me sick to my stomach when I first heard.
Foundation of the radio station.
Yeah.
Well, you know, but the radio station, I'd say the foundation of the radio station was actually Dan McNeil and Mike North and Dan Jiggets and Terry Bors and Tom Scher and Jim Memolo.
And Tom Scher.
And eventually all those people, and the station continued. So my point in bringing that up.
Yeah, I got you.
I'm not taking anything away from Dan Bernstein, but I'm saying that I thought there was no way the station would ever continue in that regard.
He took it to a different and new level.
For sure.
That's what I mean. Like, modern-day foundation.
He stylized sports talk radio.
Understood. Yeah. I'm just telling you that for the first 10 years of my Score life, the question that I heard from people at an event like this one in real-time sports in Elk Grove Village was, hey, so have you hung out with Mike North? What's Mike North really like? Do you know Mike North? Have you been to Pappy Land? That's what I got for the first 10 years of my radio life. Since then, the predominant question has been, hey, so is Dan Bernstein really a jackass? That's been the predominant question.
And you answered it how?
I'm not going to tell you. But, you know, since then, there have been other questions. For a while there, people would say, do you actually like Parkins or not? You know, do you actually like Danny Parkins or not? People would say, hey, is Shane's act an act, or is that really him? You know what I mean?
Does Haw really lose his mind in Vegas?
Right.
Is he really a problem?
Sure. Like, is Dustin doing a bit, right? I mean, like, all these things.
Yeah.
Like, what does Grody mean when he says Bears? You know, it's like, it just becomes what it's about. And I'm telling you, for better or for worse, in 10 years, somebody else is going to, hopefully, knocking on wood, 10 years, somebody else is going to ask me something different. Or in 5 years, somebody else is going to ask me something different. The Score is bigger than any of us. It is. It's bigger than anybody who's working here now. And frankly, it's bigger than anybody who used to work here. I mean, Mike North hasn't been on the station in 15 years, you know? It just, or longer, whatever it is. It's we're fortunate to be riding on a train that has been created before us, and I believe will be riding after us.
Amen, man. I agree, and I'm glad that we got to talk about this.
Yeah, me too. Just to put a button on it, and we'll say it again, I'll say it again, I'm really disappointed that it came to this. I'm really sad that it came to this. It's a sad, sad day. I want to be clear, even as I talk about how the Score is bigger than us, it's bigger than me, it's bigger than any one host, I'm very much putting myself in there and putting all the hosts in the past in there as well. But to be clear, in case anyone was wondering, I'm sad. I'm very sad that it has come to this, and I wish it had not.
I agree, and I'm sad for the industry as well, just because of what an important voice he is. And I'll say it again. I'll try to say it better this time. I think he has to this day emboldened, whether they like him or not, whether they know it or not, he is emboldened talk show hosts in this town to go to a different level, to a higher level, to a riskier level, to a more intelligent level. And that's what Dan Bernstein has left here on Chicago Sports Radio. And I cannot wait to see what's next for him. I cannot wait to
see
what's next
that.
For him.
Yeah. I very much agree with that. And as I mentioned before, and I told him personally, I look forward to his next chapter, and I'm sure he will find something that speaks to his passions and lets him express himself the way that he deserves to.
Amen.
The rest of his career. That was earlier today. We're back live now. Matt Spiegel and Mark Grody here in Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village, along with Shane Reardon and Rich Wyatt and Jenna Duddleston working the Twitch feed. And it's been quite a day. It's an interesting day. Earlier in the day, Mitch went on the air and shared the news, and then we were live on the air, and that's what we did right there.
Yeah, and I listened to a lot of what we just replayed, and I mean, there's a lot more to probably say or that I'm feeling, but I think that the biggest part about Dan Bernstein from the comments that he has elicited from everybody, even Dave Wanstead, I mean, is like, this is a guy who pulled it off. Love him or hate him, right?
Isn't Sorry, that, I missed. I don't get the Wanstead reference. Was something there? Was that it? Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
That was, it was beautiful because it was the essence right there. It is part of why Dan got to where he is and the people that he influenced along the way. And he did. He influenced a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure. And including me. You know, it's funny. I find myself thinking about a couple of things that I want to share with you and share with the listeners a little bit. And we'll update where things are in the tournament. And we'll take you out with some audio that we know is going to hit you in the right place. So keep hanging with us. Thanks for being with us. It's Spiegs and Grody on the Spiegel and Holmes Show on 670 The Score.
We're back live from Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village with more of the Spiegel and Holmes Show presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Hey, meet Dustin Rhodes in 670 The Score tomorrow from 2 to 4 p.m. at AT&T in Oak Lawn. Stop by to enter for a chance to win tickets to see the Bulls take on the Lakers on March 27th. Plus, you can meet Chicago legend Will Perdue and the Incredibles Entertainment Squad. That is tomorrow from 2 to 4 p.m. at AT&T in Oak Lawn at 5251 West 95th Street.
Dustin and Will Perdue?
I know, man.
At the
together.
Same AT&T?
Yep.
That's going to take down a phone tower.
Sounds like a radio show to me. Can I tell you guys a story?
Please.
So, it's 2009. I start with Dan McNeil on June 15th. Later on that baseball season, Scott Podsednik has done some amazing things for the White Sox in kind of reinvigorating the offense. And Dan Bernstein, I see him in transition celebrating when Podsednik has failed in a game because Bernsey didn't like the kind of player Podsednik was, you know? And I saw him celebrating the fact that Podsednik had failed the night before. And I know he's a White Sox fan, and I lost it. I absolutely lost it. Because I challenged him. We have this incredible conversation and transition that was totally natural. I challenged him, went after him. I was angry. Like, how can you be a fan of a team and celebrate when they lose just because you're right? Like, you care more about being right or seeing your team win. And we went at it, and it was, like, kind of vicious.
Yeah.
And it was totally raw and real. And as soon as it ended, a very good transition, but I wasn't like, I was just fighting. That's all I was doing was fighting. As soon as it ended, the microphones go off and Bernstein said, "That was great."
You're sweating. Your hair's all out of place. Your shirt's untucked.
I'm putting
your mind.
I'm putting my sports soul
right
into this conversation. And we're going toe-to-toe, and he's probably beating the crap out of me in an argument.
And as soon as it ends,
he goes, "That was great."
I never thought
this station made a big deal out of it.
Yeah,
Mitch
yeah.
put it on the flipper that they called at the time. And it was like, Spiegel and Bernstein, the showdown, right? and I was just honestly arguing. And that guy knew that what we were doing was fun.
Oh, yeah. What could have been? Spiegel and Bernstein.
Hey, man. Mm. Well.
That juxtaposition.
For years, I thought about that, to be honest with you. I loved working with the guy.
Yeah.
I absolutely adored working with that guy and never let anyone think any different. And we enjoyed being foils for each other and yelling at each other and then laughing like hell. Thank you to Mark Grody for a great job today, buddy. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you to Chris Tannehill in absentia. Thank you to Tyler Buterbaugh for an absolutely great job on a difficult day. And Shane Reardon, a really wonderful job on a difficult day. Thank you to our guys in promotions. Thanks so much, gentlemen. Thank you to Jenna Duddleston doing a great job on the Twitch stream, and Rich Wyatt, the consummate professional. It's been a pleasure to be here today. Been a challenge, but a pleasure. And thanks to everybody. We're going to leave you with a wonderful piece of Boris and Bernstein and caller Ann. Rami Makhlouf is next after this on The Score.
And on the north side,
we press on.
Ann, you're on The Score.
Yes. Come on, give me the score. Please.
Give you the score?
Yeah.
Of the Wisconsin game?
Hey, are you kidding me? I told you to find me the score of Detroit and the Rams. That's all I want. Please. My blood pressure's going up. Are you crazy?
You're still waiting for the Rams-Detroit game?
I want the score, yes.
You have it, Steve?
The score of the Rams-Detroit
game. Yes, I will give you the exact score. Just give me one moment to find it.
I'm waiting 20 minutes.
Why is it so important that we get you the score?
Because I got friends here, and the one told me one score, the other one told me the other score.
All right.
I'm going to clear this up.
You ready?
Yeah.
Detroit won the game 30-20.
Detroit won it?
Detroit won.
Detroit upset
the Rams.
Well, that's an upset, right?
That is.
Okay, and you know what somebody told me? The Rams won the 30-20. And we had money on this. And you know what? I'm a sports fan. And I got three different scores. And here I'm waiting half hour. You know, I'll never call your station again. I must have listened to 30 commercials. This is a commercial station, not a sports station. Goodbye. At this station, will never get any callers from my family. They're sitting here, and they're saying, he's still telling you to hold on? He's nuts. Bye-bye.
And how old are you?
I'm 88, and I'm in sports all my life. Except hockey. I hate hockey.
You know what, Ann? Then you and I are soulmates. I don't like hockey either.
You know what? They skate around like Goofy. The only time they do anything is when they see blood on the ice. 1-0 score. They can't get the puck in. Look at all the games they're losing now.
What's your favorite sport?
My favorite sport is football.
And you've been a Bears fan, I guess. You are older than the Chicago Bears organization, actually.
I know. I'll be 88 years old next month.
So you were around before the Bears began.
I was around, you know what? I was around through all the wars, through all the depressions, and I was born poor. And like I said, when I called your station today, I said, my God, about 15, 20, this is terrible. I wouldn't call the station again information. Never.
But the game was played Sunday. It is now Wednesday.
You got the paper there, damn it. You got the paper there for Sunday. Monday morning, all the scores are in there.
And
I was out of town, so I didn't get the score. Then my friends come over. We're playing cards. There's four women here. We're playing cards. Everybody's got a different score. I said, I'm going to call.
You know, Ann, I apologize if it took a little longer than you anticipated to get you that score.
Goodbye.
Now,
half hour. I'll never call again.
Well, Ann, thank you.